Well, if you've been here on and off over the weeks, last number of weeks, you'll know that we've been engaged in a series based on Psalm 23. A number of months ago, it's probably been 6-8 months ago, I started reading Psalm 23 again. And it was just, you know, you're used to reading something you're familiar with. And I just felt like the Lord was shedding fresh light on some very common verses and a common chapter in the Bible. And so we've been involved with that here over the last 5 or 6 weeks. We've had a number of other things going on throughout the summer. We've had a couple guests in. We've had VBS. We've got this going on, that going on. But every time we don't have something going on, we land back here at Psalm 23. So so far, if you haven't found this out already, it's called the Shepherd's Psalm. And it's called that because of the fact that David wrote it as a shepherd himself, but it's written from the viewpoint of a sheep seeing God as the great shepherd of the sheep's life, of the person's life. And so far we've learned that David sees himself when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He has seen himself as part of the sheepfold of God, as part of God's flock, if you will, of sheep. And I said to you the very first week when we talked about this, we are all under the management of someone or something. Even if it's yourself, if you're governing you feel like I'm the governor of my own life, someone or something. You know, Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters." That's not possible. Anyways, today I want to look at yet the next phrase in Psalm 23. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Can we just say that together on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm going to switch over to the other microphone here so I don't have to hold this one while I'm trying to do a couple other things. All right, we there? Yeah. All right. There is so much in this one portion of verse 3 that honestly, we could take weeks and just park right here. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to break this verse down for us this morning. And the first part I want us to look at is this phrase, he guides. Some translation says he leads. The Hebrew word can mean either or, he guides or he leads. But what I want you to notice, what it doesn't say, is it doesn't say he drives me. The God that we are here worshiping this morning is not a taskmaster. He doesn't work with us like a cattle rustler might work with cattle, right? Where they're pushing and driving and enforcing them to go in particular directions. That's not how God works. God leads us. He guides us. Now, here's the thing about that kind of leadership and guidance. What you want, think about it for just in terms of how we kind of do life. Think about it this way. If you were to go on an adventure out in the wilderness someplace and you hired a guide, you said, "You know, I've never been there before. I think I might want to get somebody who's been there before." That kind of guidership and leadership is about going before you've been there, right? It's about, well, like if you hired somebody, you don't want to show up at the place and have the guide say to you, "I'm not sure where we're going. I've never been here before," right? Like if I hired somebody to take me out into the wilderness on a fishing or hunting or trekking, you want to have in your heart the confidence that that person has actually been where we're about to go. Then when you get there and he says, "I'm your leader, I'm your guide," You don't want him to just say, well, go that way. What you've hired him to do is to show you the way to go. To go ahead of you, leading the way. That's what a guide does. That's what a real leader does. They're out in front, kind of, demonstrating or leading the way in which to go. Now, a good shepherd knows the terrain. The good shepherd knows that because they've been there maybe before the sheep even go there. He's been to that place before. Okay, so the second thing about this phrase, he leads or guides, is that it implies we're going somewhere. You know, behind that, not only behind the type of leadership that he offers to us, but it's also implying that he's taking us someplace. Now, here's the thing that we need to understand as Christians is that we're one of the most important things about us, and for that matter, leading sheep, is that you need to constantly keep them on the move. I think there's something in all of us that gets comfortable staying at a particular place. It's like we're wired for that kind of comfortability. It's like, okay, I like where I'm at. I'm just going to stay here. But the important thing about following Christ, the important thing about Christianity is that God is taking us someplace and we must be willing to go there. Say, no, I'm not, that's not me. I don't, I've heard people say that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's just not who I am. Well, okay, whatever. It still doesn't negate the fact that God is taking us someplace. And he's leading us. He's guiding us to places we haven't yet been. So if we're only comfortable with the places, the trails. You know, one of the things I read, I want to read to you from this book in just a minute, but one of the things I found out this week in understanding some things about sheep is that, like, sheep are incredibly habitual. They will do the same thing day after day after day after day. That's why if you look at certain places where sheep have historically been over the years, there's trails. There's trails, like we have deer trails in the woods. Like you can find places where they just use the same path day after day. I know we see it even, Russ, where cattle have been. They will use the same trails day after day after day. They will eat from the same places day after day after day. They will go to the bathroom in the same general area day after day after day. Well, for those reasons, some of the things I read is a shepherd needs to constantly be changing the pasture places that sheep do what they do, because if not, what happens is the earth starts to get, it turns into like a wasteland in so many ways. Like the ground starts to erode in ways that shouldn't erode. Stuff gets eaten so that the plants like can't come back. You know, they're eating too much and they start going to the bathroom in the same places, and they can get stuff from that of eating at the same place they're going to the bathroom. Like we would, that wouldn't be a good thing if you were pulling up your dinner chair next to the toilet. You know, this wouldn't be a great thing. So one of the things that I read here in this book that stood out to me is this guy. I've been reading little bit snippets from you from week to week. This guy here, this guy by the name of Philip Keller, wrote a book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. He was actually a shepherd himself. Listen to what he says. He says, "Casting my mind's eye back over the years that I kept sheep, no other single aspect of ranch operations commanded more of my careful attention than this moving of sheep. It literally dominated all my decisions. Not a day went by but what I would walk over the pasture in which the sheep were feeding to observe the balance between its growth and the grazing pressure placed upon it. at the point where it was where I felt that it reached the maximum benefit for both sheep and land, and that their needs were not being met, my job was to lead the sheep, to guide the sheep to some fresh new pasture. On average, this meant that they were put upon new ground almost every week. In large measure, the success I enjoyed in sheep ranching must be attributed to the care that I did in managing the moving of my sheep from place to place. Now, so this idea of he guides or he leads is first about the type of leadership God is offering us, but it's also about us understanding that he must keep us on the move. If he does not keep us on the move, negative things begin to happen to us. Okay, so the next part in this, I just switched slides, so make sure you look. I just underlined the word me. Now, what I just told you is our general principles for how you manage a fold of sheep. But I want you to notice David says, he guides me. It's not that he just guides sheep in general. David is saying, I see God guiding me. It's personal. There's a personal aspect to his shepherd's care in my life. He's guiding me. David saw himself as being personally guided and led by God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, listen to some of the things he said when he introduced himself as the great shepherd, the great good shepherd. He said this, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. It says, I call them out by name and lead them all out. And the sheep, they listen to my voice. These are the type of things he said. Now, that can't happen if there isn't a sense of it being personal, right? I know my sheep know me. I call them by name and lead them out. The sheep, they listen to my voice. Why do they listen to my voice? Because they sense who I am. They know my voice and the way that it sounds. There is a personalness to God leading us and taking us where he wants us to go. It's both personal and progressional. Now, to the part that I really want to focus on here for the next few minutes this morning. This is where he's taking us. He's taking all of us here. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Can you say that with me? In paths of righteousness. Now, there are a lot of terms that get used throughout the Bible, and I think sometimes when certain words get used that we don't use at other times in our culture, we tend to wrestle with what all that means. I'm going to make this super simple for all of us here this morning. When David says he guides me in paths of righteousness, the word for righteousness in this case simply means going the right way. Going the right way. In other words, you could say it this way. He leads or guides me in the right way to go. There, as I'm staring out over the countryside, there's various directions one could take. The shepherd takes me in the right way to go. He knows where we're going. He knows where we're headed to. And it's his job to show me or take me in the right place to go. All of us here, all of us in this room today, every day in life, we face various decisions about which way to go. At VBS week, on Wacky Wednesday, Scott calls it, he encourages the kids to dress up with crazy outfits and weird hairdos. Well, I don't have any crazy outfits, and I'm finding less and less hair to work with. So over the years, I have this hat. that I wear on Wacky Wednesday, and it's a baseball cap, and it has two bills on it, two brims on it, that are pointed in opposite directions. And the caption on the hat says, "I'm their leader, which way did they go?" And it looks like I'm going two different directions, right? Well, my observation in life is that throughout any given week in any of our lives, we are faced with decisions to make. We are faced with choices to make. Some of those are big things, right? Last week, we introduced the newly engaged couple. That was a big decision you had to make, right? Right? Austin, Elizabeth, those were big decisions. You know, who to marry, who to spend the rest of my life with. You know, we have big decisions about careers. We have big decisions about, sometimes my wife and I, a few months ago, we bought a car. For us, that's like a major decision. You know, we need to pray and think about that a lot. But I've also observed that there are little minor ones that we make. But have you ever noticed that sometimes what you decide to do about those little decisions end up making a big difference down the road? So there's all these decisions, all these different ways we can go with things, right? Like how we handle things, how we, you know, we decide in our hearts and our heads, you know, well, this is what I'm going to do about this situation. This is what I'm going to do about that situation. And sometimes they seem like minor things, but they can end up becoming big deals, right? So how does this happen? How is it that the shepherd of our lives, the one who is looking to manage the affairs of our life, how is it that he goes about showing us or guiding us in paths of righteousness? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Well, the first thing I want to say to you is that you have to want to go in the right direction. If you don't want to go in the right direction, there is no amount of revealing to you which way to go that will make a difference. Because if you are hell-bent on doing whatever it is you are going to do, then God could put up a billboard on Route 16 and say, "Jeff, go this way." And you would still say, "No, I ain't doing that. I'm doing this." So you have to have a heart that says, "Lord, lead me in the way I should go." David said as much in Psalm 25, just a couple chapters after 23, said, "Lord, make me to know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." So the first step in receiving godly guidance, the first step in him leading you, is you have to want to go in the way that he would take you, in the way that he would show you. You have to want to do that. Now, it's understandable why we are the way we are. Listen to Psalm 53:6. All of us, that usually means all of us are like sheep. We have strayed, and there's something in us that still wants to stray. We have left God's path to follow our own. There is something in us that wants to do it our way. Right? I did it my way. There's something in us about that. I want to show you a picture that kind of sums it all up. It's right here. This is a little hard to see, but on your right, as you're looking over here, that is a rock cliff. I don't know how to use this pointer in this thing here. Oh, look at that. I found it. This is a rock cliff. It's actually about, if you could see the top of it, it's about 1,500 feet high. So we're talking about a significant cliff, right? This right here is a pile of dead sheep. Right here. I'm sorry I have to show you this picture. Right here. That's a pile of dead sheep. This happened in the country of Turkey. 1,500 sheep went off this cliff. 450 of them died. The estimated cash value for those who are raising these sheep was over $100,000. Now, you ask yourself, why didn't the other sheep die that fell off the cliff? You can probably guess, right? These sheep, part of the 450, cushioned their fall. So they survived. The first ones that went off the cliff, see ya. Now, sheep have a way of following other sheep. Nothing was driving these sheep to do it that they know of. Nothing was forcing them off the cliff. One sheep, I tried to picture this, right? It's like one sheep goes off, splats. Next sheep says, well, that sheep won. I guess it's my turn now. They're not thinking like we'd like to think. But I'm thinking, how often does that similar thing happen to people in life? We watch people make choices and decisions, and they splat. It doesn't end well. And yet the next sheep comes along and does the same thing. Off the cliff. Right? That is not what the shepherd has in mind for the sheep. He is leading and guiding us in a way to go so that this won't actually be how our lives end up, at the bottom of a cliff in a pile with a bunch of other sheep. He knows how to get us where we need to go, safe and sound. So it would be much better for us, rather than having our eyes on the sheep next to us, the only good reason to have our eyes on sheep next to us is so we can learn from their mistakes. But as far as getting where God would take us, we need to keep our eyes on the shepherd, not on our fellow sheep. In order to be led in paths of righteousness, you have to be willing to forgo your own way. Jesus said, this is the guy who called himself the Good Shepherd. He said this: if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. What that means is you have to deny going your own way. You will not find and know the paths of righteousness if you insist on your own way. If you choose to be under the management and directives of the Great Shepherd, he will guide you to the best place for you personally. How will he do that? Well, first, he will guide you by the Word, the Bible. He will use those words that he has spoken, those precepts, those principles that he has given to us for us to gain a general direction of where he's taking us. We will find in his Word the guidance and the wisdom to go in the right way. For example, even from a casual reading of his Word, you would come away with the guidance of this. You would know that lying or falsehood is not the way to go. You would come to find out that cheating and doing things underhandedly is not the way to go. You would find out that stealing, sexual impurity, intoxication, anger, unforgiveness, all of those things are not on the path of righteousness. They're not in the way that he is taking you. And so if you say to yourself, well, God, I'm praying right now. I don't know if I should lie about this or not. Right? Should I lie or shouldn't I lie? I'm making it real easy for you this morning. When you're considering those things, those are all decisions we think about and have to make. What should I do right now? We're all faced with ethical, moral decisions to make day in and day out. What should I do here? Should I be transparent? Should I be honest? Yes, that's what God's word says. That is the path to take. That's where he's leading me. That's where he's guiding me. Right? Right? We find the general guidance we need to know that we're on the path of righteousness. So that's one way. One way that God guides us is by his word. But there is another way, clearly. Oh, David said, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So his word is one of the tools that he uses to shepherd us. But there's another one that it's talked about at length in Scripture, and that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this on the heels of saying that he was the good shepherd. He said in John 16, 13, the Holy Spirit will guide you in regards to truth. Can I just say something this morning? And when I wrote this, I'm gonna say it as I have it written so that nobody can say I didn't say it this way. I can go back to it. And when I wrote this, I said to myself, this doesn't sound right when I write it. But listen, the Bible alone is not sufficient to lead us in paths of righteousness. Let me say that again. The Bible alone is not sufficient to lead us in paths of righteousness. And then I finish by saying this. If it were, there would be no need for the Holy Spirit. When I wrote the first part, I said, ooh, that, I don't know, that doesn't sound right. But then when you think about it, it's like if God could have just given his word and that was enough, we wouldn't have to have Jesus saying the Holy Spirit will guide you in regards to truth. Now, in my mind, there's two obvious reasons why the Bible isn't sufficient alone. Number one, not every decision that you and I have to make in life is covered by a precept or command. Some paths are clearly spelled out as wrong paths and right paths. But there are many other choices and decisions we have to make as we go through life that are not as clearly spelled out in the Scriptures. We all know this, right? I mean, I have conversations with all of you all the time. It's like, I'm just not sure what to do here. And it's hard to go to a verse and say, that's the verse that clearly connects with my situation. But let me say this to you. As we go through life, I mentioned some of them earlier. There are issues like, who am I supposed to marry? What am I supposed to do as far as, you know, my vocation or career in life? Where to live? There's all those kinds of decisions to make that when we look at the general precepts and principles of God's word that point us in the right direction and has the right to, we need more specific information, right? So that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. The Holy Spirit, it talks about this in God's word. The Holy Spirit in us, with us, upon us, works with us in such a way that our spirit, that spirit within us, bears witness to the work of the Holy Spirit in us and the accompanying peace and joy and lack of anxiety and so forth and so on is the thing God uses to help direct us in specific ways in the ways that we should go. He also uses people in the body of Christ whom the Holy Spirit flows through to speak words to us, to help us with little hints along the way so we can get a clearer picture of where he's taking us and where he's leading us. So that's a really good reason why we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. But secondly, it's not enough, please hear what I'm about to say, it's not enough just to know the right way to go or not the right way to go. We also need the empowerment to do what we need to do and what we shouldn't do. We need that power at work within us to go in the way that God's calling us to go. It's not just movement along the path that is important, but it's also the spirit in which we move along the path and the motivation that God gives us by His Holy Spirit. We need to see ourselves as going along the path of righteousness in the right way to go, but with also the right heart and the right reason for why we're going in it. Otherwise, what happens is, I'm going to end with this, but I want to say it right now. We need both the Word and the Spirit to lead us in the path of righteousness. When you only focus on just the Word, you can tend to get self-righteous about that. When you only focus on the Holy Spirit, you tend to get, thank you, my wife said wacky. You get weird, right? We need both of them together in order to lead us in such a way that we're on the right path for the right reason with the right results as we go along the path. Are you there? The Word of God and the Spirit of God together provide the necessary shepherd leadership to guide us as His sheep. We need the revelation, the motivation, the transformation that comes from both God's Word and His Spirit. It's through these means God molds us, He shapes us in such a way that when there is no explicit law or precept or command, we take into account all of the wisdom that God has provided for us in His Word. We take into account the leadership of His Spirit into our life. And when we allow those things to come together in our hearts and minds, He will direct us in the way that we should go. That is why we need to give ourselves regularly to the Word of God and why we need to place our hearts and our lives in such a way that they're able to be molded by the Spirit of God. God will shepherd us. He will lead us. He will guide us in the way that we, in the right way to go. But I want to close by talking about this last part of Psalm 23, for His name's sake. For His name's sake. You might be surprised if you did an exhaustive study of this phrase in the Bible. It shows up a lot. And when I read it here in Psalm 23, you can almost read right over it, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And you could just read right over that, and it's like, what is that all about? When it says His name's sake, it's another way of saying for God's glory. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His glory. You know, there was a day when one's name and reputation meant something. Right? There was a day when somebody's last name, actually, you know, a father might say to his son, you know, could you live in such a way that you would make this name not be disdained or you know, there would be some glory, if you know what I mean. There would be, you know, you wouldn't defame our family name. I don't know where those days went, but there used to be a day. Well, a similar thing is being stated here. God is saying that he wants to be glorified in the way that he leads us. Now, on the surface, that may seem from our vantage point a bit egotistical on God's part. But let me talk to you about it for just a moment in the context of a shepherd leading sheep. Because that's the context it's in. At some point, a shepherd has to give an account for his leadership of the sheep. Right? How well he has done. If a shepherd neglects his sheep, that will eventually come to light. In John chapter 10, Jesus spoke of himself as being the good shepherd. But if you remember that passage, he also talked about another kind of shepherd. He referred to that shepherd as a hireling. As one who is just watching over the sheep for his own benefit. To get paid at the end of the week. He talked about it in these terms. A shepherd who actually owns the sheep is going to be constantly concerned about the welfare of the sheep because at some point he wants his investment to be good. Right? A hireling, because he doesn't necessarily own the sheep, and it's just looking for the paycheck at the end of the week. And Jesus said, when the wolf shows up, the hireling takes off. Right? Jesus, there will come a point, it's in Matthew chapter 25, when there will be a presentation of the sheep. It's talked about in terms of the sheep and the goats. There will be a presentation of Jesus and his sheep before the Father. Jesus is in the midst of endeavoring to shepherd people. His shepherding, be careful what I'm about to say, his shepherding is for his name's sake. You know, when Jesus stood at his baptism, Scott or Kathy referenced it at a baptism last week, and the heavens opened and the Spirit came down like a dove, and the Father spoke to his Son and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." There will come a day when Jesus Christ will present his sheep, his bride, to the Father. With that in mind, with that thought in mind, I leave you with this last slide. Because it's about his glory, we should be ever conscious that the decisions that we make and the paths that we take reflect his shepherding work in our life. We should be ever conscious when we're out and we're in public or we're in private, it doesn't matter. But we're out with other people. How we kind of go about our business reflects upon our shepherd. You say, well, no, it really doesn't because he could be doing a great job leading. We're just not paying attention to our leadership. While that is true, the way we conduct ourselves, we need to be ever conscious that the way in which we go reflects upon the one we say we're following. Ever conscious. From the time we put our feet on the floor in the morning, how we direct the affairs of our lives, the way in which we go, the decisions we make, they are a reflection on the one that we say is shepherding us. I got to be honest with you. It breaks my heart. The church, the sheep have done more damage to the sheepfold than the shepherd could ever do. There are people who don't follow Jesus because of what how other sheep have conducted their affairs. And now we're trying to coax them back. You know, we're trying to coax them back to the flock. We have to be ever conscious. Ever conscious. We should be ever confident. As sheep, we should be so confident that this shepherd is leading us in such a way that it is for his name's sake. He is trying to lead us in such a way that it starts out in grace, but it's supposed to end in glory. It's grace that brings us into the fold, grace that keeps us in the fold, grace that carries us along. But the whole point of all of that grace is to bring us to this point of glorifying. Being utterly glorified. We should be ever conscious. We should be walking in confidence that Jesus is leading us in the way that he does so that ultimately he would receive to the glory. Paul said it this way. I wrote it down here. Let me find it real quick. I want to say it to you real quick. It says this, from him, through him, and to him are all things, to him be the glory, or for his name's sake. I want my shepherd to receive all the glory due his name. So I should live my life in a daily conscious way that my decisions have an impact upon his glory. The power and wisdom of God in our lives grows in direct proportion to my conviction that he is at work in every part of my life. As sheep, we should always be confident that he has my welfare in mind for his name's sake. And number three, calling. As sheep, we should always be calling on him in prayer to make us holy sheep for his name's sake. We should be saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus presenting to his Father a flock of scrawny sheep? Can you imagine him presenting to his Father a flock of sheep that is disease-ridden, there's hair falling out, their ribs are showing? I can't. I can't picture Jesus presenting that kind of shepherd's work to his Father. The best way to ensure that that won't happen is for you and I to cooperate as he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. May he receive the glory that is due his name, and may he receive it primarily not by our words, but by the way we go about following him as he leads us in paths of righteousness. Will you pray with me? I just want to say before I pray, so I'm not praying what I'm about to say. No, the best way the best way for us to ensure that we find ourselves on the path of righteousness, going the right way, is to first realize that we are prone by nature to go the wrong way. That's the first step, the very first step, is to realize that sometimes that if we let our carnal nature, our flesh nature, lead the way, usually what that means is that the first thing that I would want to say or the first thing that I would want to do, we might want to check that. I mean, we might want to pause for a moment and say, okay, is that what I really want to say? Will that really bring honor and glory to God, to my shepherd? Will what I'm about to do, is that going to reflect upon the one I say I love? So just understanding that there's something in us that's prone to go in the wrong direction. But once we acknowledge that, the next step for us to take is to say, God, I want to go the right way. I want to say the right thing. I want to do the right thing here. I want to make sure that my heart is in that place of wanting to do and go the way you want me to go. I'm telling you, once we take those two postures, once we take those two steps, He will guide us, be it through His word, be it by a Logos word or a Rhema word from God. He will lead us in the way we should go. If we're seeking the right path, if we're looking to Him for the right path, He will ensure, He will make sure that we have the needed information we need to take the right course. So, Father, as we're here before You today, the great shepherd of our souls, Lord, I want to start by just praying and thanking You for being the great shepherd that You are. Right here in the middle of Psalm 23, David is clearly saying that You have our best interests in mind, but You also have Your glory in mind. You want things to work out in such a way that we're not in a pile of rubble at the bottom of some cliff, but You also have Your ultimate glory in mind. So, Father, here we are today as sheep of Yours, sheep part of your sheepfold, Lord. Lead us, Lord. When we say that, when we pray that, we know that that means that we can't do it our way. That many times our ways are not Your ways. Our thoughts are not Your thoughts. Your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher. Lord, lead us in the ways we should go. And Lord, for any who would be here today that find themselves on a detour, the Lord would have you to know that there is always a way back to the path of righteousness. There's always a way back to the right way to go. Confession and saying, Lord, I'm not on the right path here. And then repentance, which says, Lord, take me in a different direction. Take my heart in a different way. Remember, our series is called Safe and Sound. God's taking us someplace, and He wants to get us there whole and healthy in a good way. Well, in terms of this path of righteousness, God has a specific path for you and I to take. They may be different, a little bit different from person to person, unique things about that path, but there is some place He's taking us. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to the written word and to your rhema word, to your spirit word in our lives, Lord. And lead us in the way that we should go. We know the paths of righteousness are good paths. On those paths of righteousness are fullness of joy, our peace. All the things of your kingdom are found on that path. But we found through experience on that other path, there's also some yucky things, some heartbreak, some frustration, some anxieties. Lord, lead us. Lead us. Like David said, teach us, Lord. Teach us in the way we should go. We're saying we need your help. Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Lead us on, O King Eternal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.